there's going to be reviews down the road. So you want to have a clean file. So put together the file in a way that you will be able to leverage it if there is a review down the road.
Here we go again, friends. And I'm not just talking about this podcast, although the sentiment certainly applies. This is, after all, Future Proof, episode number 129. We've been doing this every week for going on 3 years now, and we're going to keep doing it too. My name's Bill Sheridan, by the way. I am your host. No, we're not talking about Here We Go Again, as in this podcast, but rather as in COVID-19 economic relief. And I'll tell you what I mean there in just a second. First, let's get this out of the way, shall we? This week's show is sponsored, as always, by the Business Learning Institute, which delivers competency-based curriculum, courses, content, and community to maximize career trajectories and grow intellectual capital for organizational and executive leadership. Hundreds of courses by dozens of instructors and unlimited customization. Find out how the Business Learning Institute can help you by visiting blionline.org. So, okay, right? We've seen this before. Economic relief related to the pandemic. In particular, loans being made available to businesses as part of the Paycheck Protection Program. The first round of PPP loans was launched on April 3rd, 2020, and promptly ran dry less than 2 weeks later. So a second round of loans totaling $310 billion was made available on April 27th, 2020. And that didn't last long either. So now we've got PPP round three, $284 billion in loans, which were made available as part of the $908 billion Coronavirus Response and Relief Act. That was signed into law in late December. Now, the latest round of loans was made available on January 11th to just a select group of underserved borrowers through a small group of community lenders. And according to the New York Times, in 1 week, the Small Business Administration approved nearly 60,000 applications totaling $5 billion from almost 3,000 lenders. That $5 billion represents about 2% of the latest PPP round of $284 billion. Now, the third round of PPP loans, it's available to all participating lenders now. And Eric Askerson says it's time for CPA firms to reset their approach to how they advise their small business clients on both loan applications and forgiveness. Askerson is president and CEO of CPA.com. And in a recent Accounting Today article, he said firms need to think differently about this new round of loans in a number of ways, including these. First, a broader range of businesses and nonprofit organizations are eligible for loans this time around, including chambers of commerce, 501c6 organizations, and local newspapers, as examples. Second, the rules are more well-defined this time around, and the application and forgiveness processes should be considerably smoother than in earlier rounds of funding. Next, lenders have more latitude about PPP rules and processes, and more fraud protections are now in place to weed out, you know, ineligible companies and bad actors, which we heard a lot about in earlier rounds. And finally, the loan process will strengthen the ongoing role for CPA firms to assist their clients with business funding decisions in the longer term. Here's what Askerson writes. He writes, quote, "The work you do now elevates that role," end quote. Again, those thoughts are outlined in a January 19th Accounting Today article titled CPA Firms, It's Time to Reset Your Approach to PPP. So yeah, there's a lot to digest this time around. And who better to help us do that than my guest this week? He is Eric Askerson, president and CEO of CPA.com. Joining him is Lisa Simpson, who leads the American Institute of CPAs private companies practice section. Mouthful every time I try to say that, but Lisa leads the PCPS in the development of practice management tools that address topics that are most important to firm owners. So I wanted to find out a little bit more about where we stand with this latest round of funding. So Eric, Lisa, and I sat down to talk about, you know, what they're hearing from firms and their clients, what CPAs should know at this point in the process, you know, whether they're expecting things to go a little bit more smoothly than they did in earlier PPP rounds, and how things are going with that new CPA business funding portal. You may have heard about it, which is designed to help CPAs better manage their clients' loan applications and forgiveness requests. Good stuff, timely stuff this week on the economic relief front. Here is my conversation with Eric Askerson and Lisa Simpson. Eric, Lisa, thanks for joining me. Of course, the window for applying for this new round of PPP loans is open. I'm curious, what are you hearing this time around from CPAs, from their clients? What's the word?
Well, I'll jump in first. And Bill, it's great to be here. So thanks for having us on. We're in a very, very intense period once again. The Stimulus Act was signed into law on December 27th. Then the first week in January, we got the IFRs and the guidance, and then the first banks started processing loans as of January 12th. So we're about, you know, a week or so into this program. And what is happening? What's happening is the banks are, the lenders are all trying to interpret all of the guidance, stand up systems, and the firms are doing the same. They're trying to understand all of the particulars of draw one and draw two, and we can get into that, advise their clients, and support their clients with the application process. And what we're saying right now is you need to have some patience, because on a daily basis, new guidance is coming out, the bank systems are being stressed, and at times you have to redo work or the system has some issues. And these are things that are causing anxiety and frustration with the firms and with their clients, which is understandable. But I think we all need to continue to keep perspective. Everybody is really working hard. The government officials, the bankers, the firms, and everyone's trying to help these small businesses that need this next round of business relief.
Can you give me an idea or examples? I mean, how quickly are things changing at this point? Obviously, it's a huge package, kind of put through. The entire package took a long time to get through, but now it's here, and everyone's trying to get on top of it in a very short period of time. How fluid are things at this point?
It's a great question, Bill. Back on January 6th, we started getting some of the initial guidance. Forms came out not too long after that. Things started trickling out. But then over the weekend, just from the 15th through the 19th, we got a couple of new IFRs, and we got some procedural notices around how to correct prior loans. So it's just been, and even this morning, we got detailed guidance on how to calculate loan amounts for second draws. So it's very fluid, and we're getting guidance that helps answer a lot of questions, but there are still some questions to be answered, primarily around borrowers that are trying to apply for a second draw loan and are looking to document that 25% decline in gross receipts.
So as I understand it, eligibility for this round of PPP has been expanded a bit to include others that weren't included the first time around. What does that look like?
That's right, Bill. One of the biggest categories that's been added to PPP eligibility are 501c6 organizations. So those are your chambers of commerce, the state societies, and other organizations like that are now eligible to apply for PPP1 and PPP2, or first and second draws, I should say. There are some restrictions around lobbying and the size of the organization. Consistent with that, you've also got direct marketing organizations that are focused on travel, and certain news organizations, and some housing cooperatives. So a broader group of borrowers are now eligible for PPP.
Certainly good news from my standpoint, working for the Maryland Association of CPAs. We're welcoming that news. That's good news. Second-time borrowers, tell me a little bit about this. So they have to show, I believe, a 25% decline in gross receipts. What kind of questions are you getting on that at this point?
Oh, we get all kinds of questions on how to calculate that decline in gross receipts. One of the biggest questions is around what's included in gross receipts. And on the 19th, the SBA issued some really clear documentation requirements and calculation methodologies around how to calculate that for each entity type. They're tying it back to specific lines on the tax returns. Another question that we get is what kind of accounting method are borrowers supposed to be using when they're calculating that decline? So many small borrowers may not be producing quarterly financial statements or monthly that they can combine into a quarter, because this calculation works by comparing any quarter in 2020 to the same quarter in 2019 to see if there was a decline of 25% or more. And then there are variations if the business is new, wasn't in operation all of 2019, et cetera. But in calculating that decline in gross receipts, it's important for borrowers to understand that they don't have to have those quarterly or monthly financial statements. If they do, that's great, and they can use those. Those don't have to be audited, reviewed, compiled. The borrower does need to sign off on those internal financial statements according to the guidance the SBA just released. They don't even have to be GAAP-based. They can be cash, tax, whatever the normal accounting methodology is that the borrower uses for those interim financial statements. But if they're not producing those financials, so if they're bringing in a shoebox at the end of the year to their accountant and saying, hey, please produce all of my financial records for the year, then it might be that the borrower just wants to look at gross receipts based on their bank statements. Mm-hmm. So they can pull their bank statements for the year, backing out capital infusions as an example, and start comparing their gross receipts that way. Mm-hmm. Or if a borrower wants to use a full year 2020 compared to full year 2019, they can use their tax returns. So there are some options there in determining the approach to calculating the decline in gross receipts.
Yeah, and I guess all that being said, I mean, are you expecting things to go a bit smoother this time around, given that we've done this once before? I mean, what kind of lessons did we learn through round one that we can apply this time around to help kind of smooth the process?
We certainly do think it's going to go smoother because we know the language now. We know what PPP is. Those are things we knew nothing about back in April. So we've built a base of knowledge over the last 9-10 months. And now we're just adjusting to some of the fine tuning around the different draw requirements. So it's going to go smoother.
Yeah.
It is. It's going to go smoother. That's right. Many of the lenders are much more familiar with the SBA systems. When we turned up the original program, there was only about 1,700 banks that were active in SBA loan programs. We now have, you know, well over 5,000, probably 6,000 lenders. It includes fintech companies that have built the interfaces into the SBA. With that said, these new programs, this next phase, has different interfaces that the banks are building to. They're stabilizing the API feeds into the SBA, and there's lots of data being processed. So with the volumes, it's going to go smoother, but there's still going to be issues in the first couple of weeks. We think that there's going to be enough funding. All indications are that this $285 billion should be enough for the way the program's written today. We have this 25% declining gross receipts required for draw two, and they've expanded eligibility for draw one. Overall, it looks like there will be enough funding. It's something to watch on a daily basis. We just got our first report that through the first week, there was about $5 billion in total loans supported from 60,000 applications. Wow. But the national banks are just coming online now.
Yeah. Switching gears slightly here, Eric, how are things going with the, I guess it's called the CPA Business Funding Portal. So what are you hearing about the portal from those who have used it so far?
Yeah, well, we went live within the first 24 hours of being eligible to go live. And that just like we understand what the lenders are going through, because it took a few extra hours to get the feed working to process the loans into the SBA. That did get going, and then there's some usability issues that we worked through. So right now we've had thousands of applications submitted by CPA firms, which is exciting. A couple hundred million dollars in loans. And this is just giving firms an alternative approach where they can support their clients with a lender if potentially the original lender is not open or not supporting their client. And one thing that we know was a frustration in the first round was around the agent fees. So what we want to do is we want to try to move this category. We want firms to be playing an active role around this business advisory line and this financing. So we stood up a platform with Biz to Credit to do that. And basically, we've leveraged the AICPA guidance and forgiveness calculator and loan calculators into this platform, which can help facilitate the processing of a loan. But it also, some firms are just using this as a centralized tool, and then they're just taking the documents and having their client utilize those documents in the application to the original lender. So there's a two-path approach. You centralize things, you go with an original lender or some other lender, or you have a backup plan or a plan B for your client.
So, and for those who aren't familiar with it or may not have heard about it up to this point, can you maybe take a couple minutes to explain a little bit more about the portal, what it is, what it's designed to do, how they can take advantage of it?
You just go to cpaloanportal.com, and it's just a platform that allows firms to support multiple clients in a modern fintech platform. And we all think about many of the platforms that have been developed over the years. You've got many state-of-the-art client consoles in the virtual CFO, client accounting services space. You obviously have them with tax platforms. And what this platform has is it allows firms to upload their client information, to have different permissioning and user levels for different people in the firm. If it's a mid-sized firm, they may want to have somebody doing the final review and other people uploading the data. But it's also technology is the great equalizer. A small firm can leverage this tool and provide this type of centralized processing to their business relief applications, and either work with the original lender or work with submitting the application through this tool. And it's a secure tool. I mean, that's one thing that's very important. There's a lot of documents that are being gathered. It's a good repository to maintain those documents. Because one thing Lisa and I have been talking about over the past many town halls is there's going to be reviews down the road. So you want to have a clean file. So put together the file in a way that you will be able to leverage it if there is a review down the road.
And you may have alluded to this earlier, Eric, but the response so far to the portal has been good.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's a free at the basic level. It's free. We've got 10,000 CPA users on it. If you are interested in agent fees, you have to form an agreement with the lender. And there is a commercial fee for that, and we have a few hundred firms that are taking advantage of the full service.
Gotcha. This could be a question for either or both of you. What are some of the most important things that CPAs need to know at this point about PPP round two? What's top of mind for you guys, and what do you think they need to know?
I think understanding the process is important as you go into this next round of PPP, knowing the lender options that are available for your clients, and understanding how the documentation process is going to work, what the lender is going to be looking for, what the SBA is going to be looking for. The SBA, we know, is going to be trying to stop fraud more at the front end. So there'll be a slight delay in sending out those ETRAN numbers, which are basically the ticket to the bank to approve the funding. So we know that there could be, you know, a delay of 24 to 48 hours in that. So working with your client on making sure you've got all the documentation in advance to upload information correctly so nothing gets kicked back, which will slow down the process. And just having those conversations with your client about if they're coming back for a second line, it might be a little bit different of a process than the first draw.
Mm-hmm. Things are just going to take more time with some of the processing. And some of the businesses are even thinking about, you know, when do they want to get this loan? I mean, we're just trying to, you know, fully understand this, but there's other options such as the ERC credit. And some businesses are thinking maybe delay their draw to application. That's something that, you know, firms need to think through. And also, just by waiting, you will probably have less redo work if things change. And you'll also, if there's in the with the PASS program last year, sometimes waiting gave you advantages. So that it's balancing that desire to get the funding with versus having more certainty on what the rules are in a cleaner process with the lenders. Because we're hearing some lenders, I think some lenders will take a couple of weeks to turn up the draw to process, to be determined, because I know everyone's working really hard right now. And it's just based on, you know, getting these feeds, working with the SBA. And if things get delayed or there's issues, then there'll be push out to some of the turn up of the full phase and all of the capabilities related to this program. Because there's even this new, Lisa can talk about this, correcting your original PPP loan. That's going to be an option, but it's not going to be something that's available till the end of January.
Yeah. So while we're dealing with this package of relief, there's another one on the table. Any intel or insights into the I guess it's almost $2 trillion of relief that's being proposed by President Biden at this point.
Okay, I'll jump in here. I think. But we're right now trying to get our arms around which is the second largest business relief act in the history of the United States. Yeah. This $900 billion bill. I don't think we've got a good acronym yet for it, Lisa, but that's what we're all trying to get our arms around. And now there's already talk about this $2 trillion Biden package. What I think we all can take for certain is there is going to be another phase of business relief and more stimulus. Mm-hmm. But it's a 50-50 Senate, and there's going to be negotiation. And I can tell you, last fall, every week we were saying, okay, it's going to get passed, and these were the final particulars. And it didn't. The bill got passed on December 21st, and then all of a sudden it got stalled a little bit, and then finally got signed on December 27th to 28th. So I think right now, I think the firms can just focus on this, getting the understanding of the $900 billion bill, and tell their clients, yeah, that more is coming, and it's probably best to wait for things to kind of work themselves out a little bit more before you start paying too much attention to that back and forth of the negotiation.
It undoubtedly will change before we see what that final package is going to look like. But so good advice, Eric, Lisa, thank you for joining me. Thanks for the insights. It's going to be fun to watch the progress from here on out. And I'm sure you guys will be back at some point to give us an update. But until then, thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Bill.
Thanks, Bill.
Really good information there from Eric Askerson and Lisa Simpson. Eric is president and CEO of CPA.com. Lisa leads the AICPA's private companies practice section in the development of practice management tools. that address topics that are most important to firm owners. If you want to know more, check out a couple of things. First of all, check out the CPA Business Funding Portal. You'll find it at cpaloanportal.com. Also, be sure to check out the AICPA's PPP resources for CPAs. You'll find that resource center at AICPA.org. Just visit the Coronavirus Resource Center on the AICPA homepage. And don't forget, this week's sponsor is the Business Learning Institute. The BLI's Future Ready Learning Framework outlines the skills that CPAs need to thrive in the rapidly changing world of accounting and finance. That framework is all about gaining and maintaining deep technical knowledge along with a strategic skill set. And we're talking about strategic aptitudes that have been identified as most crucial for tomorrow's CPA. Start mastering these future-ready skills now by visiting macpa.org/future-learning-framework. Whew, that's all I got, gang. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.